Good morning and welcome again. I'd like to extend greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unto you now and forever. This morning we are going to look at a portion of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. These words we are going to hear today are directly from Jesus when He is telling the parables. As most of us know, the parables were lessons that Jesus taught using everyday events to illustrate His points. So with that in mind, would you, if you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Again, this is from Matthew 25:14 through 30. Read as follows in the name of our Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained to other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take for the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Please be seated. This is a very interesting parable. At first it seems that maybe we're going to be hearing about finances, since that is what is being dealt with, since a talent in those days was worth a lot of money. But since we know that Jesus is just using this as an example, we need to look deeper into it to find out what he is really telling us about. In the first verse, Jesus tells us that this parable is about a man that is traveling into a far country. And just like Jesus did when he left this earth, after his resurrection, Jesus left this earth and he did just what this master did. He gave us gifts and talents to go out and work for him. In this parable, we are told that this is like the kingdom of heaven. When this man leaves and travels into another area, he leaves with his servants. some of his money. Looking at this, we see that this Lord has left with the servants gifts or talents based upon their abilities. Just like you would see happen in the business world today. When your boss leaves for a vacation or hunting or anything like that, the boss will look at the employees and decide based on their experience and abilities which one he should leave with the most control. Just like God has done with us. He has decided what gifts or talents he is going to give to us and how many he is going to give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11, we see that God has done this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For no one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Oops. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So that makes it pretty clear that God has done exactly that with us. He's decided what we have done and what we are going to do and what we need from him to do that. After the talents were divided up to the servants, the Lord took his trip, and for some reason he doesn't tell the servants how long he's going to be gone. How many of you would like that? You're working like crazy for your boss. One day he comes up to you and says, "I'm going to take off for a while. I know how long I'm going to be gone. I know what you're supposed to do while I'm gone, but I ain't going to tell you." How many of us would work for more than a week or two for someone like that? There's no way any of us would work and spend years of our lives working at a job for a boss that isn't watching over us and telling us when we do wrong or when we do right. How long would it take for you to take that business over? Wouldn't take very long, would it? If you get left in charge, your boss takes off, don't know when he's coming back. Don't know if he's coming back. Don't know if you'll even be around when he comes back. Pretty soon you're going to decide, well, I'm just going to take this over and do it all for myself. We see this all the time. People that are using the Lord's name, trying to gain their own praise, or trying to earn money for themselves. I mean, it's something that we see. So, is it really that hard to believe? And when we all know how big of sinners we are, we know that we're just one step from doing it ourselves. When we look at this parable in this way, it gets a little bit more interesting. These servants have been left in charge of their master's talents until he returns. And they have no idea when he's going to be back. And two of them decide that since their master has been good to them and fair with them, they are going to do the right thing by him and increase the value of what he has given to them. The one who was given five talents goes out and trades with them and makes five more. The same thing with the one who gets two talents. Wouldn't that be the best thing to do? If your boss leaves you with a business that's worth $500,000, He comes back, it should be worth $1 million, shouldn't it? We're always going to want to do that, but the question is, will we do that? But most of the time, we're going to end up doing what the third servant did. We're going to go out and hide it. We get a great gift, but all we have to do is take care of it. So we're just going to go and hide it and keep it to ourselves. We just sit back and let it be what it is. We don't try to improve it. We don't do anything for it. Just like this business that we are all in. I don't know if any of you have ever thought of it like that, but I actually kind of think of Christianity as a business. And we see every day we have chances to improve our network. We have chances to do more advertising. I don't know, I'm a little bit whack, so I don't know if that's a good thing to think of it like that, but that's the way I've always thought of it. We are in this business. God has put us in charge of this business. So we need to do something for it. How many businesses make it today with no advertising and no new tools and then nothing like that? If you just let it be what it is, how far is it going to go? But if we're lucky, that's all we're going to do is let it be. Because most of us really are going to try and take it over. Because we all have that horrible tendency to do nothing. To do absolutely nothing. Unless it's for our gain. Just like the third servant. He didn't want to do anything for it. He had that gift. He had that talent. He didn't have to do anything to get that gift. So what does he need to do? Just keep it for himself. He's just going to make sure he doesn't get in trouble for losing it. I just keep on jumping around on my sermon here. Now, most of the time, that's what we see. People are either going to just hide their gifts that they're given, or they're going to do absolutely the worst things they can do with them. They're not going to do it for the glory of God. They're going to do it for their own glory. They're going to go out and try to use the Lord's name to gain their own glory. And one of the things that really gets to me is that thing that we always hear, or I always hear, when you ask somebody to do something for the church or to help out or to give a message or anything, they say, well, I don't have the qualifications for that. And to tell you the truth, none of us have the qualifications for that. The only way we are qualified to do anything is through Christ. So every one of us is qualified through Christ to do the ministry. Not saying that we all have to get up here behind the pulpit, get a little crowded, but I'm saying that we all have to go out and spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we are all qualified to do that. Jesus Christ, through God, has given us the qualifications. But all we want to do is take those gifts and talents that we have been given and just sit on them and do nothing with them. So they're wasted. Now here comes the master calling upon his servants. And of course, the master is so happy when he sees that these two servants have taken and doubled what he gave to them. Even though they risked it all, they took such a big chance. If they would have lost that money, they'd have been dead. That would have been the end of it. And their master would have been justified in doing that. But does our master do that to us? If we go out and risk the talents and gifts that he has given to us? Absolutely not. It's the opposite. We won't be dead. We'd be alive. Then we hear the famous saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Isn't that what we all want to hear? And he takes another different stand here. That, you know, it didn't really make too much sense to me when you just read through it and it says talents. But when you see, when you read it as gifts, it becomes totally different. "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." And I've heard this preached quite a few times where that is said to be, "You will be a ruler in heaven." And that really didn't make any sense to me, because I always thought that once we go to heaven, we're all going to be equal and we're all going to be just having a ball, you know? But it says, "You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." When you look at it as you have been faithful over the few gifts that I have given to you, I will make you the ruler of many gifts. It becomes totally different. When you have one gift and you use it for God's glory, God is going to reward you for that. He is going to give you more gifts and more understanding for His gospel. And it's all going to work for His glory. And God even gives us direction on how to use those gifts. In Romans 12, we see 5 through 9. "So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Even though we never see what happens when we use our gifts and talents that God has given to us, God can see. We won't be punished for the use of what God has provided for us as long as we use it. Now back to the parable. The second part of where Jesus, I can't even remember what verse it is. Jesus tells us Well done, thou good and faithful servant, in 23. And in 24, or at the end of 23, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, I don't really know if that means that we are going to be put straight into the joy of the Lord, or if we're going to have more joy on this earth. I don't know. I can't make sense of that at all. But I hope that's what it is at the end. I mean, I know we're all going to be suffering here on this earth, and we're going to be going through hardships. But at the end, all I can do is pray that that's what we're all going to hear. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Another point of your interest here is that the Lord uses the same phrase for each of the servants, even though one of them was left in charge of more things than the other. They were both good and faithful servants and worked to improve his kingdom. The master didn't say that, well, you only earned 2/5 of what the other guy earned, so I'll only give you 2/5 the praise. He gives him the same reward, just as God will do with us. It doesn't matter if we're the idiot up preaching or the guy out working and says Jesus loves you to somebody. We're all going to get the same reward. And here comes the third servant. He gives his master the 1 talent. And right away, without any questioning, the servant gives his reasoning for not going out and doing anything with that talent. He says that, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man that reaps where he has not sown and gathers where he has not spread any seed. And I was afraid, so I decided that it would be better for me if I went out and hid what you gave to me so I wouldn't lose it. So I give to you what is yours and nothing more. I think this master is a little bit perturbed at his servant. It says, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I harvest where I haven't planted and that I gather from places where I have not spread any seed. You should have at least put my money into the bank so I could get some interest off of it. A little bit harsh, isn't he? We're so lucky that God won't talk to us like that, aren't we? Or maybe we're lucky because God is telling us that that's exactly what he will do. Because he is that master and we are those servants. I know we're all so familiar with talking about how God is so gracious and how he is so loving. A lot of us seem to forget that God has given us 2 very important commandments. The first is to love him, and the second is to love your neighbor. It wouldn't make sense for God to give us those commandments if he didn't give us the means to fulfill those commandments. God has each given us gifts, has given each of us gifts so that we can minister his love to everyone around us. Now, this description of the master in the parable really didn't seem like one that would fit God. He reaps a harvest in a field that he has not planted. I mean, I don't know, a lot of us here have farm backgrounds, or we know gardening or something. So you go out and you plant your beautiful rose garden, or you plant your grove of apple trees. or a nice green alfalfa field, and somebody else comes in there and harvests it. How's that going to make you feel? You did all that work, put all that time and effort into it. Somebody comes in there and takes everything out of there. They decide what's good in there. They decide what's bad. You have nothing to do with that. That's exactly what God is going to do. He has us planting seeds of His love all over the world. We're going to have absolutely nothing to do with the harvest. He's got that end taken care of. The only thing we can do is make sure that we have done everything that we can with what He has given to us. Because God is that master. He is that one that's going to reap that harvest where He hasn't sown. So we are the sowers. Now I know we're all thinking, well, what gifts do I have? And if I could tell you, I would. But I have no idea. There's only one way to figure out what gifts you have, and that's through God. There's no book that can tell you by putting you through a list of your abilities and inabilities. There's nothing like that out there. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that's going to reveal to you what your gifts are. And God has given us these gifts for one reason. And there's only one reason for all these gifts. I mean, of course, we have the opportunity to make money and make a living. But there's only one thing that God has given us gifts to prepare us for. And that is the ministry of Jesus Christ to everyone around us. Now verse 28. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Pretty simple, actually. Everyone that has understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be given more understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the use of the gifts that they have been given. And everyone that hath not shall be taken away. Whoever doesn't have a good understanding, or whoever has been given these gifts and will not use them, even that little bit of understanding that they have, is going to be taken away. That's explained in Matthew 13, where Jesus is telling us why He uses the parables. And then there's that beautiful part at the end, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. We come into this and we see that this servant that hasn't done anything with that gift that he was given is thrown into hell. Now that's a word that we don't really hear too much from the pulpit. I know it's been a long time since I've heard it. But it says it pretty clearly in this parable that if your gifts are not used, you're going to be thrown into hell. Now we're just lucky enough that Jesus Christ has died for us. That even though we do commit this sin, and I know I do, I know all of us do, we commit this sin all the time. Jesus Christ has died for us. So it doesn't matter. We're not going to be thrown into hell. I don't want you guys thinking that. I'm telling you. And you go out and preach. You go out and give everybody that message. Because you have to. Otherwise you're going to go to hell. Well, you have to do it. But if you go out there just because you're forced to do it, it doesn't mean a thing. Go out there because you feel that love flowing through you. You feel the love of God flowing through you for everyone out there. Because it's just pointless to go out there and be forced to go out there. Because you won't be prepared for anything. I know, I've been there. So go out and be the light in the world that He has called you to be. Whether it's at work or at the gym or at the gas station, wherever you run into one of God's children out there, be a light. Amen.